Acts 28. And you read the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is a transitional book. And what I mean by that, it's about the life of the apostles and what they go through. And it's a transition takes place. And the transition is from law to grace. And when you read the book of Romans, when you start reading the book of Romans, you realize now we're under grace. And but in the book of Acts, you find where there's a transition taking place from the Jews to the Gentiles, from law to grace. And Paul is one of the main characters in the book of Acts, and Paul the Apostle. And I want to say this. We started out when we went to Jerusalem or went to Israel, we went to Caesarea, and that's where Paul was put in prison. If you read Acts 26, all the way through 25, he stands before King Agrippa, and we were in the place where Paul stood, where Paul was in jail. And then when he sailed, they sailed from out to Rome, heading for Rome, and that's where we have a shipwreck. You have a shipwreck in chapter 27. Paul warns the captain not to launch out. Look at chapter 27, verse 4. And we had launched from hence, we sailed to Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And Paul says, he tells him that it was going to be bad. And a wind came up, and they were in this storm, and it got so bad that they started throwing things overboard, trying to get rid of things, trying to ride out the storm. And the storm was like a hurricane. It's called the Euryclean. And it says in verse 15, and when the ship was caught up and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And the running under a certain island, it was called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. And when we had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, stake sailed, and so were driven. What they they took straps and or chains and ran it all the way. Somebody had to go underwater, bring the thing back up under the ship to try to keep the ship together. It wouldn't ship. And it says, after long Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. I mean, the Bible says they threw out all their wares, they threw out everything. And because they were fearful. And then the ship gets caught, and it gets caught into where they try to drive it into where two seas met, and the ship was tore up, and it come apart. And there was 216 souls on board. And Paul says, be of good cheer. Look at verse 22 of chapter 27. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no harm or no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. That's a great statement. I believe God. And he says that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down in Adia. And at much midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and so on. So the verse 31, it says, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, and they were getting ready to get out of the ship. They were getting ready to go overboard. And Paul says, he says, and they believe Paul now. Paul was a prisoner. He was a prisoner. And he was going to be taken to Rome because he appealed to Caesar. And the centurion, which was the guard, the captain of the guard, and all the men there, they believe Paul. He says, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. He said, he goes up to the captain and says, unless these abide in the ship, they're going to be lost. They're going to die. So the centurion believed Paul because he heard Paul. He believed him. And look what the Bible says. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boats and let them fall off. The soldier went over with his sword and started cutting off the ropes and so nobody could go overboard with the boats. And here the ship is being tossed all over the place, the wind, storm, rain. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Therefore, I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. What a testimony. 200 and some men looking at Paul because of his life. Their lives were being, they knew, they looked at him, that God was with him. And they said, we can trust this guy. And whatever he does, we're going to do. Whatever he says, we're going to listen and we're going to do. So Paul was a prisoner. And at one point, they talked about killing all the prisoners, but the centurion says, no, because he wanted to save Paul's life. And why? God told Paul that he was going to preach to kings and princes and all over. And you know, Paul ended up going to Rome. So the next book in your Bible is called the Book of Romans. He writes from Rome. And Peter was never there. Paul was there. And it says, in verse 37, and we were all in the ship, 216 souls. 276 souls. I said 216, but 276. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And was day, they knew not the land, but discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were mined. It was possible to thrust in the ship. So they go on and they thrust in the ship and it gets broken up. So they end up all swimming towards shore, 276 men and women. All right, as far as I know, it was just mostly men, but I'm sure maybe there were women on board. But it was 276 total. And they swim towards the shore. And the Bible says in verse 28, chapter 28, and when they were escaped, when they knew that the island was Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire. These people saw what was going on. They had a fire. They received us, everyone, because of the present rains, because of the cold. So you've got to remember, man, they're out in the water. It's cold. It's raining. They're holding on the boards, trying to get to shore. And these people build a fire. And the Bible says, and when Paul had gathered a bunch of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And that viper came out. Paul's laying his sticks down. Here he was, an apostle. It says a viper. When they say a viper, it means one of the vipers that's venomous, that you would die within two or three steps. And Paul grabs a hold of that thing and throws it down in, and the viper jumps up and latches on him and bites him. And Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And when the barbarous people saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, they judged him. They judged him. They saw that. They went, oh, my, he's a dead man. He's a dead man. And when they saw the beast, the venomous beast, among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. So they were certain that Paul was a murderer. And they said, this thing bit him, and it's got to be. But folks, I'll tell you, before I even get into the message, I want to tell you, I don't like snakes. I don't like spiders or snakes. They made a song years ago, I don't like spiders or snakes. And I'm going to tell you something. Snakes, man, you know, they say a good snake is a what? Dead snake. Now, there are good snakes, they supposedly. But I don't understand. There was a guy out in Nevada. He had all these venomous beasts in his house. He had a trailer, had his family and kids living in it, had rattlesnakes. He had all kinds. I just saw where somebody was down in Georgia, in Calhoun, Georgia, and right by the courthouse, it was a snake, but it was called a copperhead, came out of the sewer, and the guy killed it, and he put his fist down beside it. His head was as big as his fist. That's how big that thing was. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to go crawling around the sewer, you help yourself, amen? But there might be something down there. They say alligators in New York might be in all that. They made all these movies, make you weary, man. They made that movie about the pythons, you know, the guys out there in the jungle, and all of a sudden this python comes out and snatches somebody, and a great big old python. Now, down in Florida, they had these Chinese or whatever, these pythons somebody let loose, and they multiplied, and they were killing the alligators. Now, that's a pretty big python that can kill an alligator. I don't know if you know how big an alligator is. If some of them get 15, 20 feet, and that thing will choke an alligator and then swallow it, kill it. I just don't like snakes. I think there's something wrong with a person that has a snake for a pet. There's something wrong with them. I mean, there's something just not, I don't think, clicking up here right. I just don't think so. I mean, folks, I'll tell you what, snakes, I saw a video the other day where a guy played a prank, and I laughed my head off. He had a string, fishing string, and he had a toothpick, something to clip on people, and had a snake attached to it. And he'd run up behind people and clip it on them, say, "Snake, snake!" And them people would fall over everything trying to run, get away from that thing. And he'd run right along with them and come saying, "Snake, snake, snake, snake!" And run around, and they're running over the thing, falling over the thing. And then finally they realized what it was, and then they start chasing him, trying to kill him. But people went crazy. It was funny. It was really funny. But a person could really hurt themselves with that. Then I saw somebody showed me a picture of a girl that had a big, great big old python. And she had this python. It was like a yellow, brown something. And she slept with it. And the thing was about that big around. She slept with it. And it wrapped around her, all the way around her whole body, as she laid in the bed. And finally she asked the doctor, she went to the snake, whatever, snake doctor or whatever it was. She went to the doctor and she asked the doctor, he says, what he's doing, he's sizing you up. He's trying to figure out if he can swallow you. And let me tell you something, snake has no conscience. The Bible says they're subtle. The Bible, when over in the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells us about Eve talking to a snake. Now, that would be pretty wild. You walk in on a conversation and you look down and there's a snake on the floor and your wife is talking to it. That'd be pretty wild. And that's what happened, man. She's talking to this snake. But the snake, at that time, that serpent walked on 2 feet. That serpent was in the garden, and he walked on 2 feet. And he hung around a tree, and the tree was a vine tree. It was a vine. Adam and Eve did not eat an apple. They ate from the vine tree. It's cursed. Eve is talking to him, and the serpent is talking to her. And the serpent's giving her, he's subtle. And the Bible says, God says, the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. Now, they have some serpents that they hypnotize their prey. They sit in front of it and hypnotize it. And the Bible likens the devil to a serpent. And what he does, what the devil does, he hypnotizes people. He'll just get in there and hypnotize them, start talking to them. And the Bible tells us in Revelation, I don't have time to go all the verses, but it says in Revelation that the old serpent, the devil, is going to be cast out. When Moses goes down to Egypt, Moses goes in. There's a lot in the Bible about serpents. The Bible says when Moses went down to Egypt, he walks in with his staff, and he says to the Pharaoh, and the Lord says, throw down your staff, and it turns into a serpent. And he says the magicians did the same thing. And man, they threw down there, and the Bible says Moses' staff ate the other two. Yeah. I was just looking at about venomous beasts, you know, they say snakes can bite each other, and as long as they're of the same venomous brand, they won't die. But then they can bite another snake and eat that snake. But I'm going to tell you something, man. If I see a snake, I'm going to get me a shovel. And you know what? If people realize who the devil was, if they would realize how the devil hypnotized people, say, I don't believe in God, but they believe in Satan. They want power with Satan. They said, well, they don't believe in God. They're atheists, but they worship the devil. I'm going to tell you something. You can't worship the devil and not know there's a God. There is a God, and he's alive. So Moses goes down. He takes a staff, throws it down, and you know, and the Bible talks about Dan, giving you all these references. In the book of Genesis 49, I believe the Antichrist is going to come from the tribe of Dan. Now, somebody just put on a thing that he believes is going to be the tribe of Ephraim. I believe it's going to be the tribe. Dan is the tribe that the Bible says in Genesis 49. Look at this. Look in Genesis. Hold your place here in Acts. We're going to get back to this. But look in Genesis chapter 49. This is Jacob giving a prophecy when he's dying. And he's dying, and he's given a prophecy about all his children. And he tells about his son Dan, about that tribe. And he says this about that tribe, if I can get there. And look at this. Dan, chapter 49, and look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. He says, Dan shall be a serpent by the way. an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heel so that his rider shall fall backwards. See, Dan, he says, I mean, that's wild. Dan is a tribe that goes in apostasy. Brother Glenn took us from Dan. If you read your Bible, they said Dan to Beersheba. We went to Dan, and we went up there, and they found Dan. They found Dan during the 1967 war. The soldiers were digging trenches around the mountain, and they were going all the way around the mountain digging trenches. And I went through the trenches, and they got covers on them. They were fighting the northern tribe or the Syrians coming at them in the Six-Day War. And they were fighting, but they hit some walls, and they said, what in the world is these here? So they started undercovering it after the war. That's where they found the tribe of Dan. That's where Jeroboam split and goes up and builds a golden calf and goes up the tribe of Dan. Dan is the tribe that goes in apostasy. And the Bible calls his own daddy, Jacob, calls Dan adder, by the way. And so the Bible talks a lot about serpents. And in the Bible, the Lord says, if you ask God, if you ask the Lord for a fish, will he give you a serpent? No. You can ask God for help. He'll help you. He'll help. You can ask God for help and strength. He'll help you. I don't understand why people don't. I mean, I want to go back. I believe the Antichrist is going to come from the tribe of Dan. And the Bible talks about over and back in Acts chapter 28, it says the serpent came out and bit on his hand. Paul was an apostle. Now, you got a lot of men claiming they're apostles today. I had a guy call the church, wants to use the baptismal pool. I told him, send me a statement of faith of what you believe. Because some of these churches believe they're apostles. You got the Baptist Briders, and we're not Baptist Briders. We're Baptists. We're independent Baptists. But there's a group of Baptists that believe only the Baptists are going to be in the Bride of Christ. That, I don't believe that. I believe there's Methodists. I believe there's Presbyterian. I believe there's even Catholics that got saved. And they don't even realize they're not in a Baptist church, but they're saved. But see, they believe this. The Baptist Briders believe that if you get baptized by a Baptist preacher, that puts you in the body of Christ. That's a lie. We don't believe that. We believe I believe they're from all walks of life. I was just with some Arabs over in Israel and Nazareth, and they were singing, they're my brothers in Christ. They're in the body of Christ. There's Jews in the body of Christ. There's Presbyterians. There's Episcopalians, you say, but they have to be saved. Yes, they do. And that's because they're Presbyterian, just because they're Methodist, just because they're Baptist, just because they're Catholic, that doesn't mean they're in the body of Christ. They have to be saved, just like you and I got saved. But man, going back to serpents, I don't like to be around serpents. I imagine Paul's reaction. He didn't, I don't think he screamed like a girl. Now, if a serpent bit me, I think I'd be screaming like a girl, and so would you. Especially a two-stepper, you know. They got some bad, bad snakes out there. When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Lord, why in the world did you make them things? And Lord makes things to show you evil. He makes things to show you you choose between good and evil. You choose now between good and evil. And the serpent will try to beguile you. He'll whisper in your ear and try to tell you things that God doesn't love you. You ain't got no friends. Nobody cares for you at the church. All kinds of crazy things the serpent tries to whisper in your ear. The serpent's beguiling, very beguiling. He likes to hypnotize people and gets people deceived. The Bible talks about, you know what Jesus Christ became? Jesus Christ became a serpent. You see that? See Jesus Christ hanging on the tree. The Bible says that he said, I'm a worm in Psalms 22. But the Bible says Moses, he told when the children of Israel rebelled against the Lord sent fiery serpents among them and bit them, and then they died. And he said, then God told Moses, you put up a serpent on a pole and make it out of brass. Why out of brass? Brass is a type of judgment. If you read Revelation, you find Jesus Christ, his hair is like wool and all the way down. And then it says his feet like brass. Why? Because when he comes back in the Armageddon, he's going to stomp out the winepress. I was in the Valley of Megiddo. It's going to be 200 million men there. He's going to stomp what? His feet's brass. Brass in the Bible is a type of judgment. So I'm going all over the place. But anyway, the Bible says that Jesus said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ became serpent for you and me. He became a snake on a cross. You know what? If a man dies and goes to hell, he takes on the former image of his father, which is the devil, and becomes like a serpent in the lake of fire. Now, folks, I tell you what, when I'm around water and I go in the water, I'm thinking all these things out here can bite me. I'm watching. I'm looking. And I'm going to tell you something. If I seen a snake in the water going through the water, I think about walk on water. Get out. But I'm going to try to kill that thing. Guarantee it. But here, Paul, here he is. You say, is he in the will of God? Is Paul in the will of God here? Yes, he is. Amen. He said, God stood beside me. You're going to go through trials. And man, when it seems like it can't get any worse, here he is, shipwrecked, freezing in the cold. He tells them all, you got to abide in the ship. Paul, the preacher, telling them, abide in the ship. And man, seemed like nothing could get any worse, and then all of a sudden Paul gets bit. Can you imagine the response of everybody around him going, oh my God, oh God, he's dead. He's a dead man. And the Bible says the people were looking at him saying, he surely was a murderer, he had to be. And you know, it's funny how people will watch you when you're going through stuff. You think nobody's looking at you? You think nobody's watching you going through trials? Paul was going through a trial. We were at the place where they launched out in Caesarea where he headed for Rome on the Mediterranean. And why was he heading for Rome? Because God said, I'm going to have you before kings. And Paul went out. He said, yes, sir. I mean, folks, if you read Paul's life, you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you read over there and what Paul went through, he went through all kinds of hell on this earth. Say, was he in the will of God? Sure was. He was in the will of God. Only time he wasn't in the will of God, but he did it because he loved the people. And the angel warned him, don't go to Jerusalem. He said, I got to go. We were in the square where they grabbed him when they started fighting. The Roman soldiers had come. We were in the square right there. That's why I said the Bible comes alive when you're there. It just comes alive. You see all that. You go, wow. Look at here. The Bible says in verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now, that's a miracle, folks. You're talking about a two-stepper that had venomous fangs that latched onto him, and the Bible says he shook it off. He just shook it off. Now, the Bible talks about there's a lot of things likened to serpents in the Word of God. You know, drinking is a type of, the Bible says it biteth like an adder. And my father and my family drank. We drank all kinds of liquor and beer and everything else, and it just about destroyed my family. It about destroyed my dad. After I got saved, God changed my heart about drinking. Look in Proverbs 23. You got that crowd. Well, I was telling somebody the other day, we had a man get saved here. My mom Sage's brother. His name was James. James Merritts. And he got saved, and man, he was a drunk all his life. And old James got saved, and man, James got saved up, and he could play the guitar. And man, he got his life cleaned up. He quit drinking and everything. And I had him get up here and sing. And old James get up here and sing, and he would play the guitar and sing, praise God. And he just quit cold turkey. And man, he was sober for about a couple months. But he met some woman that said she was saved. And that woman said, well, there's nothing wrong with taking an occasional drink. And that occasional drink sent James down to destruction. That thing caused him, as the Bible says, when the Bible says drinking is like a serpent, look what it says in Proverbs 23, 32. Look what it says. It says in verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a what? And stingeth like a what? And God says, don't look at that, man. As a child of God, you know, we was just learning this morning in Sunday school, the Old Testament was given for our example, for our learning. And you can learn from that. I know after I got saved, I had a hard time with drinking. And every time I turn around, I was being tempted to drink, being tempted. It was like, almost like the thing was coming biting me. It bited like an adder. And there was a couple of times I got drunk after I was saved and made a fool out of myself, made a fool after I'd done witness to everybody, told them I was a Christian, and brought shame upon the name of Jesus Christ. And that thing, man, just bit into me, and that venom went through my body. I messed me up, messed up my mind, and that stuff messed up your head. And the Bible tells you to stay away from that mess. It tells you don't mess with it. Why? It'll destroy you. Destroy you. Paul shook it off. And the Bible says it was no harm. He shook that thing off. You got things in your life. You know, I tell you right now, there's some things that you need to get shook off in your life. There's some things in your life you just need to get rid of it. Get rid of it. Why? It's going to bite you. It's going to come back. They always say, it's going to come back to bite you. It's going to come back to bite you. And it's going to bite you. We have... I've seen so many people. I've passed in 31 years. I see people, man, get bit. I said, man, don't do that. They get bit. And then you don't see them anymore. The devil will try to send anything. He'll try to charm you, try to make you think he's got your best interest at heart. He'll try to use family. He'll try to use job. He'll try to use money. He'll try to do all those things if you don't pray. You say, well, that looks good. Have you prayed about it? No. But you better pray. Say, Lord, protect me. That thing will charm you. The Bible says he was more subtle than any beast of the field. Let me tell you something. The devil is never changed when it comes to subtlety. He's still very subtle. He wants to destroy your home. We got in our church, we got families that are trying to get their homes together, trying to get their families together. But then all of a sudden, man, they'll get this idea, they'll get to something, and they'll think, well, I'll just do something else. And before long, we hear about it in church, and somebody raised their hands and said, pray for so-and-so. I mean, they're out, they're divorced. I run into families like that all the time. I said, man, stay in church. Stay in your Bible. Stay in prayer. And we hear about them, we run into them, they're out, their family's split up. I mean, all kinds of kids on drugs, all kinds of mess. Why? They got bit. And they didn't shake it off. They didn't shake it off. They let that venom go through them. They let that thing just get a hold of them and destroy their lives. Drinking is that way. I mean, man, we already said the Antichrist is a type. He's a type of a serpent. And Moses goes down and takes the serpent and destroys theirs. Jesus is a type of serpent hanging on the cross. He said, I've already paid your sin debt. I've already paid your judgment. I've already paid. Why go back? I'll tell you this. I don't like serpents. I hate the devil. You say, we're not supposed to hate nobody. I hate one person. I hate the devil. But I hate the devil more in my life than I do in your life. And I hate it when the devil talks us into things and makes us think things. And I'm going to tell you something, man, you better be sober. The Bible tells us that the devil's like a roaring lion. And Jesus Christ became a serpent, so is the devil a serpent. Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. He became a serpent for us. And the Lord wants you to shake it off. He don't want the venom to go through your body and destroy you. He don't want the devil to get his fangs deep down where he can put so much venom in you to destroy your family, destroy your home. Most Christians will sit there and go, why me? And let that thing hang. Let it hang. They'll go to drinking, and they'll even get more. They talked about a boy one time that went out in Arizona, and he was out with his youth group, and he's walking along in Arizona, and one of the kids fell into a hole. It used to be an old well. And one of the kids fell in the hole, and he was down there screaming. He said, there's something down here with me. And that youth pastor, he got a flashlight, and they looked down there, and he was laying right in the middle of a bed of rattlesnakes. And that youth pastor felt responsible. He, oh, my God, this kid is going to die. But, man, none of the snakes bit him. That youth pastor, he finally help came, and they were trying to figure out how to get him down without stirring up the snakes. And the youth pastor was so stirred up, he said, I got to find another way in. And they said, there's a hole opening to the cave down here. He goes in, and as he goes in, he steps over rattlesnakes, All he could hear is that kid crying. He risked his own life and stepped over each rattlesnake very carefully, went in there very carefully, and they're watching, and their heart's dropping. He reaches down and tells the kid very slowly, climb up my leg, climb up my arms. And they climb up, and that fella took that kid back out of there without getting bit, without none of the kids getting bit or the child getting bit. The next day, they said when he woke up the next morning, looked in the mirror, his hair was white as snow. The stress of the thing was so heavy in his body, but he was willing to sacrifice all just to save that kid. Tell you, a serpent's nothing to play with. A serpent will bite. The Bible says you don't even have to charm them, they'll bite. People think, oh, I'm gonna make that a pet. I'm gonna make it a pet, and I can bring it out. Down in Texas, we go down there every year. We go at this, it's called the Big Texan. And we go there to eat. They have steaks, and you can eat, if you need a 72-ounce steak and all that stuff with all the trimmings, you can have it free. Costs about $80. There was a little woman went in there, and I thought she ate two, but Brother Glenn told me the other day she ate three within an hour. I said, can you imagine taking that girl out to eat, and she buys the steak, and she's she just swallowed the stuff. She was a hot dog eating champion. She weighed about 110 pounds. And she ate three 72-ounce steaks, baked potato, and all that. You can't get up from the table and go to the bathroom. That'd be a wild scene. I would love the video of that, with her sitting there tearing the things to pieces and shoving it in her mouth. I said, boy, that's very attractive, lady. That's really very attractive. We go in there, and they have a live rattlesnake in there. And they used to have it out in the opening, and they said, if anybody can leave your hand right there at the glass when that rattlesnake strikes, we'll give you a gift. There ain't been a person yet that can put their hand up against that glass, knowing the glass is there. And that thing, they stir that thing up, and that thing, it'll go, boom. Everybody jerks their hand away. Why is it that we don't do it with the devil? Paul shakes that thing off, and the Bible says he shook it off in verse 5. There's some things, man, you just need to shake off in your life. Why? Because once it gets, the venom gets in through your system, it'll kill you. It'll destroy you. Once that venom gets in there, there's no recovery. So why I got an antidote? Well, when you got saved, God gave you the antidote. He washed away your sins. The antidote. You know what they do? How they make an antidote? They take that serpent and they'll drain that venom out. And they mix it and then give people a shot, the antidote. They'll be sick. They'll be sick for a while. But then they'll still survive. The Bible says, verse 6, howbeit, these are the people watching, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen, fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked for a great while, they saw no harm come to him. And they changed their minds. I guess they would. If you knew a rattlesnake or something that you knew that was going to kill, or they say the most deadliest snake in the world is a black mama, or mama, or whatever that thing is. A mama? What is it? A black mother is going to be slapped the snot out of somebody. She's dangerous too, but how you say that in snake again? Mamba. They said that's the deadliest snake in the world. It's at two steps and you're gone. But the Bible says when he should have swollen, they said, man, what is this guy? And the Bible says this. Look at verse 6 again. Howbeit when they looked at him, when he have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, saw no harm, came to him, they changed their minds and said, he is a god. in the same quarters were possessions of chief men in the island. Paul ends up at the testimony. Paul ends up winning people to Jesus Christ on that island. He ends up seeing people saved. He sees the chief saved. I mean, the mother was sick. Look at verse 8. And it came to pass that the father of Paulus laid sick of the fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hand on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as was necessary. And man, I tell you what a testimony Paul had. After he got bit, after all these things happened, God used whatever he was going through and all the things that got worse in his life, he used it for his glory. Sometimes you wonder, what in the world am I going through? Why am I going through this? It might not be because of any sin in your life. It might be because God wants to glorify his own self through your life. And most people were not willing to say, okay, God, have your way. Not my will, but thine be done. They're not willing to pray. They're not willing to ask God to do that. I mean, folks, God wants to use you. He wants to help you. And the Bible says to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I mean, that tells you a serpent is wise. As a child of God, you need to be wise in this world. You need to be harmless as a dove, trying to help people, trying to see people saved. Jesus tells his disciples, he said, you'll be able to tread on serpents. You'll be able to walk on those apostles. Now, you got men that claim they're apostles today. They're liars. They can't tread on serpents. They can't do all that stuff. But I believe this, in certain situations, missionaries have been like my sister Sherry's mom. She was over in Africa and got in her Jeep or whatever it was she was driving. She was driving through there, and she's told this story. She was driving through there, and a snake, a two-stepper, came out and wrapped around her foot while she was driving. And she was in Africa, and you know it's a venomous snake. And she's driving down the road, and she said she was praying, oh, God, oh, God. She slowly came to a stop, and she put it in a park, and she's praying, God, please. And she slowly lifted her leg out of that car, and she stepped out and slowly brought the other leg out. And then when she finally got clear, she took off running. She had one of them, you know, Holy Ghost shakes. And she told us about that story. Is that right, sis? She went through that. Man, I'll tell you what. You get messed up with a snake, brother, it sure changed your life. It'll definitely change your life. But here Paul says, they said about Paul, they said he's a God. You know what people do? The only God they're going to see is a Christian that goes through troubles and trials. And you stand for God and don't turn back and run. The Bible doesn't say Paul shook it off and then took off running. It doesn't say he screamed like a girl. He just shook it off like nothing ever happened. Why? You say, how could a guy do that? He says in chapter 27, I believe God. Let me ask you something. How much do you believe God? He said, well, I ain't got faith like that. Well, we can have faith like that. You can have it. So I'm not an apostle. No, I'm not talking about going out tempting God, trying to, they've got these folks in Tennessee, Kentucky, and everything, bringing snakes out, messing with snakes during the service. I think I'd vacate the building myself. They showed a guy, I watched a documentary in Kentucky, these snake handler churches. How many of you ever heard of snake handler churches? They bring the snakes out, and they said, we're going to see who's got the Holy Ghost. And they get the band going. They got a rock band. The thing gets going. And the people get out, and they grab the snake, and they get in like a trance. And they grab the snake, and they start doing this, and they start dancing around. And then they put the snake around their head, and they start doing all that crazy stuff. And this pastor had been bit I don't know how many times. And, man, the night I was watching that thing, he got bit. And then the caption was, he died 3 days later. And they said, well, he must not have no faith. No, you're just tempting God. And these people go crazy down. We was out in camp one time. We figured we'd pull a prank on the kids. And somebody said they had a snake who had a boa constrictor or something like that. And we had this snake. And when we had camp, Mrs. Nunn, she was there. and we had all the girls and guys and all that, and we got up there in front of the church, and that night, like 300 kids, and we got the snake out of the box, and Brother Danny started telling about how we were reading the scriptures, and God showed us that we were able to do this, and I brought the snake out, and I acted like I was talking to the snake. And we was just doing, you do crazy stuff at camp. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not going to pull no snakes out here this morning. Don't worry. We don't have no boxes with snakes in them. And so I was walking down the aisle like this, and I said, yes, we're going to find out who's got the Holy Ghost. And I went like this, and that whole section cleared out. And then I went over here like this, and I went, yeah, and then the whole section cleared out. And, man, the kids were going, they were running, screaming. And I put the snake on top of Mrs. Nunn's head. We still got the picture of Mrs. Nunn. Had the snake on top of her head. But that was just, that wasn't a venomous snake. We was just playing around with it. Said, what did you want to do with that snake after that? Wanted to kill it. What are you playing with? Let me tell you something. Sin is a serpent. And you play with it, it'll bite you. And sin will get his fangs in you. You know what Jesus told a fellow one time after he healed him? He said, go and sin no more unless something worse happened to you. What happens to a child of God? If God brought you out from drinking, drugs, he brought you out from a bunch of mess, family, domestic problems, all that stuff. You don't want to go back to that. Why? It'll destroy you. And you'll wonder, why? Why? How did this happen? Because you played with sin. We're seeing a generation of young people playing with sin and getting bit. You think those video games of killing everybody, they wanted to go try it out in real life. They want to go kill somebody just to see what it was like. And then they realize all the pain and the heartache of it, and they kill themselves. You think the devil didn't? He beguiles. And don't think, Christian, because you're saved and you're on that way to heaven, that he can't beguile you. He can beguile you. Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Are you wise? You want to be wise? Young girls, you young girls, I pray for you. I pray for young men. I pray for you young men. Why? Because the devil just wants you to have sex before marriage. And then your boyfriend says, ain't my baby, and it starts calling you names on Facebook. Starts saying you some kind of hoe. Saying all kinds of stuff to break your heart, and then you want to kill yourself. The devil knows how to. Young men, he knows how to get you. You mess with pornography. My brother's been in prison since 1975. Raping women. Serpent. You mess with that stuff, it'll, you say, preacher, you know what you're talking about? I know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. I've seen sin destroy so many people. Bite of. Don't play with it. You got something in your life, say, God, help me get it out. Help me not to play with it. It'll destroy you. I could go through a whole bunch of other things. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your home. So I'm only hurting myself. He's beguiled you. You hurt everybody around you. Hurt your family, your brothers, sisters, mom, dad, church family. He just... You know what Paul did? When that serpent reached out, he'd had nothing to, he wasn't playing with it. He didn't even know it was there. That's the way the devil does with sin too. I mean, you men working a job, ladies working a job, the devil will come at you. What you got to do is shake that thing off. Stay away from it. Flee, the Bible tells us, flee youthful lust. Get away from it. Why? It'll. You start putting your trust in money, it'll. Houses, lands, it'll get you. Paul said, you 267 men, or 76 men, stay on board. We'll get through this. Don't you know those men that were on board that night and they swam to shore in Melita? They probably looked at Paul and go, my. God will use your testimony. You can be in the will of God going through troubles and trials. And God will use your testimony because people are watching and they'll see what you're going through and they'll say, can you pray for me? I've watched you. Those 276 men, I guarantee you, they'll never forget the Apostle Paul. They never did. Said, I kind of believe that they all trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. After what they've been through, they'd be fools not to. When he said, this night, God, an angel of God stood beside me. I take the man at his word, especially when he saved my life. When the Bible tells you these things that you need to stay away from, you need to stay away from it. You not play with it, not mess with it. Get away from it. It'll destroy you. I believe this book. I believe it from cover to cover. And I believe when I'm reading this book, I read about Paul, what he went through, and how much pain and suffering he went through, and I go, man, I haven't even come close to nothing. You being in America, being a child of God in America, man, you've been blessed. You don't know how blessed you really are. And people, young people in America, older people in America, unhappy. They're not thankful. They're not appreciative. I'll tell you what, things need to change. And the things need to change in us first. And you know what happens? When things change in you, it'll spread. And they'll say, you got something that I want. You got something different than what we have. Jesus Christ makes a difference. I was preaching yesterday at the funeral. And I said, religion will damn you. And a guy spoke up and says, yeah, stay right there for a while. And I said, I will. Thank you. And I said, but Jesus Christ will save you. He put his head down. So what did you do? You get mad? No. I like the response. What are you messing with? Whatever it is, you need to shake it off. You're going through trials, you think God's forsaken you? Shake it off. You think God doesn't care? Shake it off. He allows God's children to go through things. Why? To glorify him. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Now, that's not saying God's up there just wanting to see you suffer. No. He'll get you to the place where you'll trust him more. You know what Paul did? Even in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the ship breaking up, snake biting him, and all that's happened, he trusts the Lord. God, give us faith like that. God, give us more faith. It's not saying that I want to go through it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I want to see you go through it. But I'm saying if we have faith, just trust him. And you're not going to get faith watching the television set. You got to get in this book. Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I pray, God, my Father, is our Faith Baptist Church, God, our name is Faith. I pray, God, help us increase our faith.